Good morning, everyone. It's Tess here, and we're pleased that you've been able to join us today. Our speaker is Jackie Hammond from Mid-Devon Mobility. So good morning, and thank you particularly to Jackie for joining us at Devon Insight to talk about her work with Mid-Devon Mobility. Before I formally introduce you to her, perhaps, Jackie, you could tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hello there, I'm Jackie. Originally from Australia, so you might pick up a different way that I say various words. So hopefully it's all coming through nice and clearly. I work for Mid-Devon Mobility as their volunteer coordinator. So my role is to recruit the volunteers that then help support the communities. But I also go around as a guest speaker, raising awareness of our services and supporting the wider community as much as I can.
Lovely, thank you. So Jackie's been with Mid-Devon Mobility for about 18 months now, and her job is to recruit volunteers and to induct them so that they're ready to start work with other coordinators across all the areas that they serve and work with their service users. So Mid-Devon Mobility supports residents and their families and friends, and also tourists who visit the area and those who pass through it. They've multiple services that are centred in Tiverton, Crediton and more recently Barnstaple. An aspect of the recruiting is that Jackie raises awareness of how Mid-Devon Mobility connects communities and assists those in need. So their mission statement is that it lets people know that their services are aimed at connecting communities, helping to increase the independence, mobility and peace of mind of older and disabled people, and combating the problems of loneliness and isolation. And tackling loneliness and isolation is something, Jackie, that we're quite big on here, because we do recognise that people with any disability can sometimes be isolated. And one of the questions that we often ask on the helpline is, do you feel that you're isolated and lonely? And you wouldn't believe the amount of people who tell us that they're not. But when you start to talk to them about their circumstances and what services we provide and how we can help them, you quite often identify that getting out and about and meeting with other people is quite high on the agenda of things to do. So we see it in a slightly different way. Anyway, Jackie, perhaps you can tell us more about how this is done. You mentioned three areas. Can you tell us more about the services available in those areas, please?
Absolutely. So we're very lucky. We're based in Tiverton and we have premises. A lot of places don't have premises anymore and work remotely, but we have a premises area where people can drop in. So from that premises area, we run the Barnstaple area, and that has a minibus transport service, which is a ring and ride service. So a minibus goes round with one driver, which means you would get to know the driver and the driver would get to know you. So we do have people with limited vision, and the driver knows where they will be in the house and that they're not going to be able to see the bus arrive. So he will go to the house and bring them to the minibus, because otherwise they could be left standing out in all weather, getting wet or whatever, not knowing whether the minibus is coming in 5 minutes or 10 minutes because of traffic. So our team support people very well. Also up in the Barnstaple area, we offer day trips. So in between the ring and ride services, you can get on a bus and you can go to a garden centre, you can go to a pub for a lunch, a seaside resort, something like that. So actually do a social outing rather than just going to an optician, which might be something they regularly do, or medical appointment, or dropping in to change a pair of shoes or something. They can actually go out and have a nice day trip with a group of similarly minded people. Then we have Crediton, and that has a small office, so they do stock wheelchairs there. So if anybody is having a treatment and they're using our Crediton service and they're not going to be able to safely walk because it's going to impair their balance as well or anything like that, then we can take a wheelchair with us. Again, they do the ring and ride service, the day trips, but they also have community cars, and that's for medical and social reasons. So you might just need to go and visit a friend. They might live half a mile down the road, but that road journey down a country lane could be life-threatening for you. Mm. So remember that we can offer social visits and it doesn't have to be a set venue. And then our biggest premises is Tiverton. We have the minibus transport services of ring and ride and day trips. We also run the geographical isolation school buses to get children to schools from that. It's not just for elderly or disabled people. It's for anybody who is geographically isolated as well. And then we have our community hub, which is a nice social area. Some of you listening may have visited that because we run groups there. And we have coffee mornings, shop and leisure mobility, which is equipment that can be hired and driven, and recycled to mobilise, which is donated items cleaned up and sold on. So we're growing in premises and what we offer.
Yeah. So a question that sort of comes to mind is your minibus drivers. We're assuming that they're all trained, but it would be good to know how you manage that.
Absolutely. So when they're recruited, we do the guide dogs training to make sure, and I actually have the printed sheets that I give to drivers to say you may be picking somebody up with a guide dog. The guide dog will have been trained, and we chat all about Leamington Spa and the amazing services and things that they provide up there, and that the person who is the handler will have been trained as to what works best for them and for their dog in various situations. So the dog will be highly trained and know how to settle. They may ask the person, can I do anything to help or whatever, but the best person to know how they want to sit and how the dog wants to sit is the handler. So always check with them. And we also do the training, the guide dogs do training about guiding. So although it's not necessary to actually have a guide dog to need that service, we show the videos to our volunteers about how to offer your arm. The likelihood is that they want to just tag your elbow, and about it's fine to say, would you like me to carry a bag? That you can offer assistance without it being anything other than a polite offer. Because they have the handle of their dog as well. So it might be they say, absolutely great, yes, please carry my shopping bag, please just wear my handbag. And then you know that you've got it with you to be able to give it back. So, yeah, we try and make sure everybody's needs are catered for, and we try to make sure that we don't do our own version of training. We use the recommended official training.
Can I ask you about safeguarding? Because that's something that we're really hot on here, of course, with volunteers. So what about safeguarding, so DBS checks and all that sort of thing?
So my role as volunteer coordinator is that when somebody comes along and says that they'd like to be a volunteer for us, they can't do active volunteering unsupervised, which includes being a community car driver, but also in our community hub room, or delivering food or anything like that, until we've done the DBS check with them. So they may have 15 DBS checks from other organisations. We do our own because things can change at any time. And we take a common sense approach to it because people have oopses in their past that are absolutely unrelated to who they are now. And because of the generations of people that often volunteer, we're very fortunate that our trustees say yes, common sense approach. We offer people the opportunity to choose their own references, but they need to provide two. And we have a set group of questions that we ask every person. And that's whether somebody wants to be a volunteer as a trustee or a volunteer as somebody who makes our scooters polished and shiny. Mm. Everybody goes through the same process. We do have some people that will come in and do a bit of washing up supervised and do a bit of offering coffee supervised, but very, very hot on safeguarding because we work with people that have physical disabilities, we work with children, we work with people that have learning disabilities, people that have mental health needs that could be taken advantage of. And obviously somebody who is trusting, like I said, about carrying your handbag and things like that, the basics of those. So we also make sure that we safeguard our volunteers. So we talk about dementia. We talk about being a lone worker, and we say talk about our backup systems. Mm. So we always have somebody on a phone that if there's an issue, if somebody has a fall or if somebody has confusion, we've got a system in place. So we also do first aid training, very basic first aid training through St John videos. Again, we use the appropriate resources, and we do AED training to say where the nearest AEDs are. Notice you've got one on your wall.
We have, and we check it regularly.
So those that aren't familiar with AED, that is also the defibrillator that you'll yes. have known about. And we use the St John training on that, and that's part of my volunteer training to make sure that they're aware of where they are and the fact that you need to dial 999 because a lot of them are now code access. And that's all under the whole safeguarding to keep people safe and well.
So an observation for me, looking in at what you do, is your role is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, and very busy. Okay, so going back, I'd like to go back to the question where we were talking about sight loss and the services you provide. Which are the services that people with sight loss find most beneficial or ask for most?
I would say that it's the community cars. I'm hoping that some of your listeners today have used our community cars and have good feedback about them, because you can't always get to a bus stop safely around Devon. So there are still bus routes, but again, the times of the buses don't suit people. And if you're visually impaired and still very independent, it can be quite scary to just be waiting at a bus stop in the middle of nowhere. So to have a car that collects you, will wait for up to an hour and a half for you while you go off and have a coffee with your friend or go off and do whatever. Our drivers are incredible people. And then get you safely back through your door, check that, you know, there's no mail behind the door if you ask them to. They'll carry your shopping to your kitchen if you ask them to. Little things like that are a service above and beyond.
Going the extra mile.
Going the extra mile. So I know that we do have service users that visit family members because it means that it's from their front door to their family member's front door, no hassle. I think that's probably the biggest.
Yes. And is there a distance in how far that community car will travel? Has it got to be confined within the area that the...
Well, that's an interesting one, because when I first started, I had made the assumption that it was, that we were mid-Devon. What I discovered by working there is that actually, no, it can be anywhere. So we take people to Heathrow if they're off on holiday. We take people to family events. So there might be a golden wedding in Manchester that they want to go to. And to have multiple sequences of transport can make it very stressful for people.
Mm, yes.
So we ask our drivers, it's all voluntary, we ask drivers, this is what somebody has requested. Are you willing to do it? We had one person last year that drove, I think it was Manchester, which is why that city came to mind, all the way up there, stayed in a hotel overnight and brought them back the next day. The service user's family did pay for the hotel for the person, but they didn't get paid a penny in as much as it wasn't a wage. They got paid their mileage for it, but it meant that people didn't have to hope that there was a taxi available anywhere. It meant that they had a driver on hand to pick them up from their family member's home, get them to the event, go off and pick them up again from the event, take them back to their family member's home, and then at the end of it, bring them back to their home in Devon. So, yeah, I was absolutely amazed and inspired by the volunteers that we have.
So that's quite a cost. The Mid-Devon Mobility, isn't it? So talk to us about how you fund yourselves and where you perceive you need to look for funding to come from to enable all your services to continue.
We're grant funded. People think that because we have Mid-Devon in our title that we're a council organisation. We do have the very kind and generous premises from the local authority. We're in the bus station It's fine, it's not in the high street, but we do have ramp access. And the benefit of being, not in the bus station, opposite the bus station, in the multi-storey car park, my apologies for that, but we're right opposite the bus station. We walk over, if somebody is visually impaired and they're coming in by bus, we know, and we have the windows looking onto the bus station, so we see their bus arrive, we see them get off, they sit and wait, and we pop over and give them a helping hand across to us. It is quite a busy road because it's the access down to Marks and Spencer's and the hotel there. So even those that have a guide dog, if they ask for our assistance, we obviously go and give them the assistance and take them back to the bus afterwards. So I think getting the money, we get a lot of small grants. We try desperately for the big grants, but we're up against massive national organisations. So those that have used our community cars will know that they pay 55 pence a mile for the journey that they're in the vehicle. And if it goes over an hour and a half, or if it's a one-way journey, then it's currently £1 a mile, because we have to get the driver to them and then get the driver home. So our lovely drivers get paid 45 pence a mile. It's all very transparent. So we effectively have the 10 pence a mile extra, and that goes towards covering our drivers, because our drivers get covered from their own front door to our service user's front door, and then from the drop-off place home again. So
do they have to have a specific insurance classification to be able to use their cars for voluntary work?
They don't, luckily. So the government has made a category for community support and activities. That's why we can pay 45 pence a mile, because it counts as an expense. So we would pay these wonderful people far more if we could, but a lot of people are receiving a pension or might be on benefits or are already working 16 hours and have to be very careful of what actually then results in a negative financial experience for them. So we pay the 45 pence a mile to them, and that just goes into their bank as expenses. The agencies, the government agencies, are happy that it doesn't have to be declared and it doesn't have to be taxed. And in the same way, the insurance companies, I think potentially also linked to COVID, and a lot of us signed up to be able to collect prescriptions and things like that, we now have access to a massive database that will let us know which companies have it as a default in standard driving policy. And at the moment, we haven't found one that doesn't when people bring their policy documents. And all the drivers do. So they bring their MOT certificates, they bring their insurance documents, they bring their tax documents. And we have wonderful colleagues, one in Crediton, Sarah, and one in Tiverton, which is Jamie. And they then process the documents, get them car passes for the hospital gates and things like that, so we don't have to pay for those. So again, very generous of these other organisations to give us the car passes. And again, it eases the way for the passengers.
A seamless journey.
Absolutely. But there's a lot of the swan's little legs are going crazy underneath the water, and we just drift along the top. Because we have to put all these things in place.
I think it's not that indicative of charity work, though. I think it doesn't matter how big your charity is, there is always that concern about maintaining a service and getting the money in. And COVID was particularly challenging as well, because competition for trusts and grants became quite high. But also we found there were lots of grants from people like Devon County Council to provide services that were specifically for people who were isolated. But people were at home, so we set up a big area on our website about how to get prescriptions to people, helping people with their shopping and making lots of telephone calls. So although we physically weren't able to go out and do things, we were able to coordinate things over the phone and pair people up with volunteers.
And I think that's one of the major benefits of the residual grants and things, because some are now offering grants again. but a lot of the organisations that were offering grants then suffered financial issues themselves and can't offer the grants
and
anymore.
And the other thing is bums on seats, volunteers. There were a lot of people who in lockdown were volunteering their time. Now that that's, thank God, over, recruiting quality volunteers is very difficult.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things. So if any of the listeners today have family members, friends, neighbours, anybody like that who they know might be interested in running the service in their little area, as in they already do lifts for 3 or 4 people, but they're struggling financially because they don't want to charge their friends, they don't want to charge their neighbours. If they sign up with us, we can help, we can support that. Or similarly, if they're regularly doing journeys themselves because they have a weekly blood test or they have a weekly whatever levels it is test that they have to do, and they know that every Tuesday they're going to be going to the hospital, it's quite possible that we have somebody else on a particular Tuesday that needs to go there too. We can help them with their own expenses. I've worked with food banks and things like that because people that are accessing food banks have a car on the drive sometimes. To the outside community, they look absolutely fine and wealthy, but actually they haven't driven that car for a long time because they can't afford the fuel. But if we help them and we work together as a community and bring back that incredible community spirit that arose during COVID and keep it going, we can keep offering these services. So yes, anybody out there that is listening, that things they could do is, we tend not to ask you to pick somebody up who lives more than 5 miles away from where you live, because obviously we've got this thing of there's a flat rate of £4.50 for the booking that helps us cover a 10-mile either side. Above that, it costs us money. However, it's not to say it can't be done, and we have said to people, look, we only have one driver available. It's going to cost you an extra £6 because they're travelling so many empty car miles. Would you be willing to cover that? Are you able to? If people say yes, then we say, brilliant, let's match you with that driver. Oh. So it's never a never.
No. Do you pick people up? So say, for instance, if I've got a question I want to go back to about people using your premises and what they would benefit from it. But if somebody has gone into hospital and they're waiting to be discharged, is that something that your teams of volunteers are capable to be able to do? Or not capable, maybe best equipped to be able to pick somebody up from hospital and take them back home?
Absolutely. So we ask that everybody books at least a day in advance. And the reason for that is because we have to try and find drivers. So phoning up at 4 o'clock on a Tuesday to say, I desperately need a lift tomorrow morning, it's not impossible, but it limits the odds of us getting somebody. If it's on the day, we just can't do it.
No.
We're not a taxi company, and we have to be very careful of what we do.
Yes.
We also don't want to put drivers under pressure. We don't want to guilt trip drivers.
No.
So we offer them a role. If they say no, we don't say, well, why not? We say, no, that's absolutely fine. Thank you very much. Sorry to have interrupted your day. And we move on to somebody else. So we never want to put pressure on people to do what we're asking.
I think the other thing to remember with volunteers and volunteer drivers is they tend to be retired, a lot of them, and have their own health needs, family needs and commitments as well. So there has to be a degree of flexibility.
Absolutely. So when I sign them up, I discuss with them things like the size of their car, would they be willing to take somebody who is a wheelchair user if they can transfer in and out of the car. Are they happy offering a steadying arm? Some people still aren't comfortable with physical contact with a stranger, either because of the COVID situation, because of their own mobility, it might make them feel unsteady, or because of safeguarding reasons. They don't want anything that might be uncomfortable. So everybody has the opportunity to say no. We also look at their size of the car to see, can we get a frame in it? So, as I say, we've got Sarah and Jamie who see people's cars. They actually have a look. Some people might have a fantastically massive car, but they have 2 dog crates in the boot, so they can't get a wheelchair in that. Or they might have a frozen shoulder. they can't possibly lift even a frame in and out because it's going to cause them pain. And this is about protecting our volunteers as well. And things change. We have people that absolutely are going to take somebody, and then unfortunately, because of their own health, like you mentioned, because of a family member's health, or because somebody that they're very closely connected to and supporting needs them, they will phone in and say, I'm really sorry, I have a pickup at 2 o'clock this afternoon, I'm not going to be able to make it. We don't interrogate them. That's fine. If they want to tell us why, fine. But that's okay. And those are the circumstances where on the day we might offer a job to a volunteer.
Yeah.
Because it's actually been on our records previously. We phone up and we say, we've had somebody unable to do this. Can you fill in for them? Simply, people have flat tyres. People have all sorts of things. And if they have a flat tyre and say, I'm on the way to get somebody to appointment, we will quickly do a phone round. So-and-so is at Exeter Services. They need to get this person to RD&E. Can you help? And somebody will usually tag team and
do it. That's good to know.
So, remarkable.
Yeah, it is remarkable. So, your buildings, you do several different things out of them, but one of the things I know that you do are meals and equipment. So, can I ask you to tell our callers about your equipment hire and possibly sale of and things like that?
So the equipment we have is sponsored. We've had Rotary Club, we've had Freemasonry organisations and other local charitable organisations fundraise and then give us money to be able to buy brand new equipment, which is really kind. Again, anybody connected with organisations, think of us if you're fundraising. So we have things that are bought as brand new. A lot of them are scooters, because that's what people need, because there's the need to get round town in Tiverton. So the hire equipment is based only at Tiverton, but you can have things that you hire for just the day, overnight, or a week, or long term. So we will discuss with you. There's certain things that by law we can't hire out overnight, so our very big roadworthy type ones, well, they're footpaths, so you can go in and out of shops and things on them, but they're big, they're not going to go in a standard car.
Yeah.
And because of the power and the plug-in arrangements and all the rest of them, we can't hire those overnight. But we do have folding ones. We do have ones that are remote control that collapse up like a little Android. Fantastic, we can hire those out. Similarly, we have frames. If somebody just needs a bit of support, we have the ones if you're wearing an ankle boot or a foot boot that you need to be able to scoot around on. We've got several of those in. But then we have all the extras, the weird and wonderfuls. So we never know what's going to be donated. Charity shops in Tiverton are very kind. And if people come with equipment that the hospitals can't accept back, they will direct them to us. So if you think about whatever you might find in a charity shop and you walk in, you don't know it's there, it's a similar arrangement for us. Give us a call if you're looking for something and we will see whether we've got it. And our equipment doesn't go straight out for sale. We've got another wonderful volunteer. I tell you, if goodwill was a power source, this world would do a lot better. we have a lovely chap, David, who I believe he was formerly armed forces. He's been coming in every Tuesday for years and he cleans it up if it needs a wipe over, if it's been used in mud or rain or whatever, anything from a walking stick right the way through. So he also checks scooters and batteries are charging, checks the tyre pressures on things, he checks wheelchairs are fully assembled because they might have been in and out of somebody's car multiple times. So, and straps, secure straps for things. So, the only thing we can't accept is bathroom equipment unless it hasn't been used, unless it's still in its wrapper and for whatever reason the service provided it isn't able to take it back, then we will accept it. But, we have to be very careful because we don't have the high power cleansing.
No, exactly.
So, that's our equipment. But any doubt, please phone us. You might get me on the phone. You might get Hayley, our business manager. She's wonderful. She's the lady that keeps us going with grants. You might get Faye, our CEO. She picks up the phone. She makes coffee. She cleans the toilets, runs the vacuum cleaner. We don't have the hierarchy.
Well, what can I say? Some CEOs do the vacuuming. I did that this morning.
Yes, moving.
Regularly cleaning the toilet.
Moving to the toilet.
I can feel an aura, ladies and gentlemen, another out there.
So, tell me, Jackie, to use your services, do you need to be a member of Mid Devon Mobility? Are you a membership organisation?
We are, yes. So, we have a £10 membership. That's an annual membership, and that entitles you to use any of our services. So you can come in and have a meal with us. Our kitchen is 5-star rated and is the same standards as restaurants, food delivery places, food off sales. So, yep, we've got our 5-star, and you can go on the day trips as a member, you can use our community cars as a member, but you can also hire things as a member. If it's somebody who's visiting your house and they want to use our services, then that's absolutely fine. And we have in Tiverton a £3 membership, because it might be that they just need to hire a wheelchair while they're staying with you or whatever. Or if they're passing through on holiday to Cornwall and they just want to pick it up for a week in Cornwall rather than lug all their own equipment or whatever, that's fine as well.
Amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm sure many of our callers will be interested in that service. So you've talked briefly about what some of the other services your volunteers provide, but is there a wider, so befriending, anything like that that you provide?
We do provide befriending currently, however, we're not adding to the list. So again, we've mentioned the COVID situation, the grant funding that was out there. We secured grant funding for befriending services to have telephone befriending, and as people were able to have people back in their homes, we had the home visiting befriending. Again, everybody, even the telephone befrienders, have the DBS checks and the references for safeguarding and to make sure we're not putting anybody in. And they have training about what is appropriate to discuss, what they can ask, and about what constitutes a safeguarding concern. So we've had it where somebody became aware that somebody was very cold. Actually, their heating wasn't working. We do network, again, with the appropriate agencies. We don't try and fix everything. We're not the health and safety police. But if there's a problem, we do try and make sure that it's resolved. So we have next of kin, and we will contact people for that if our befrienders have signed up and said we can do so. And we go through, so it might be that one of our service users says, I spoke to my befriender today, she sounds really depressed, not sure if she's got a problem. It can be both ways. So everybody is very sensitive to everybody else's needs. Unfortunately, the funding for that finished, the project finished last November, and we don't still have the funding to run the service. So because it's volunteer power, our volunteers are still making phone calls, and we have volunteers still going out and visiting people in their own homes and also in care homes. So it doesn't have to be that you're in your own house. You can be in a very, very busy care home environment, but actually you're quite lonely because all your family live overseas. You never have somebody sit down and just have a chat or do a puzzle or play chess. We have a lot of respect for the care home staff and for the activities coordinators. They're incredible people, but sometimes somebody just wants that regular one-to-one, and it's very difficult. So we opened up our services to people in care homes, and it was an uptake, and we had some wonderful people that said, I don't feel comfortable befriending in somebody's house, but yeah, I'll go and sit in a care home. And that's still ongoing as well.
Oh, that's amazing.
So if we get the funding back, we will obviously let you all know, and we will then start. We have a waiting list. We haven't stopped adding to the waiting list, but what we have tried to do is contact people and say, would you be interested in coming in and joining in one of our activities in the community hub, or just sitting and having a coffee with somebody in the community hub, because if they're willing to do that, they can use their community car service, and then suddenly they're not so isolated. And then they might say, actually, I got on really well with so-and-so. We're thinking we might go on a day trip together. And suddenly their world expands. So I had talked to every one of them and said, would you consider it? And we have Nina, our community cup. I'm talking about all the different people in our organisation, but I think it's important that they get a mention. And Nina runs our community hub service, and she makes sure that there's activities going on for people. We've now got an extra knit and natter group. You don't have to be a knitter. It might be that you're the person that holds the wool for them and just has a chat to stop the wool rolling off onto the table, or you're the person who makes the coffee if you want to sign up as a volunteer, or whatever. So there's that. But additionally, we now have the VIP group, which is the visually impaired group. So they were at a different club premises. They now come to us on one Wednesday afternoon a month. So they've had changes in their own organisation. Those of you out there, hello to you. You may recognise my voice. And so it was the third Wednesday of every month. At the moment, I think there's some changes just happening because you're such a busy group of people. We don't want to clash with your other commitments. So it was the fourth Wednesday, and I think we're going back to the third, but we're waiting to hear. But yeah, if you're visually impaired, or if you have a condition that you know is going to result in that happening. So we do know that some conditions mean that you might just wear glasses at the moment, but you know that in the near future you're going to be...
It may deteriorate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of our clients, we say people are on a journey, and we get a lot of callers who ask us how soon they might lose their sight, and depends on what the condition is as to whether that might happen or not. But we talk about it being a journey, and there is no hard and fast rule as to how long it could be before somebody loses some of their sight or more of their sight. Many conditions are held back with medications and injections and things like that, and it could be many, many years. And I think one of the benefits of Devon Insight is that we engage with our clients and they're with us on a life journey. So it may be that they engage with us in their early 30s, 40s, maybe even earlier than that, and then they stay with us throughout. So we may not hear from them for 20 years, then they may get in touch with us again when things change, when their sight conditions change. I was really interested in what you said about care homes, because one of the things that we find here, we have an InVision magazine that we send out excuse me, on a quarterly basis, and the InVision magazine can go out to anybody, but we quite often find that when people do move into residential care, families, carers, assume that they no longer want that service and will cancel all of the subscriptions that they've got. So where we would send a magazine or we would send other letters of interest, suddenly it all comes to a stop. And yet we know that there are people who are living in care homes with hidden conditions that maybe staff are not as aware of that they've got. And I think what I'm trying to say is sight loss doesn't just stop because you've gone into a care home, and services should continue. So I think it's great that you are going into care homes, because it's people like you who work with disability in general will pick up on those people who've potentially got sight loss, and that's a two-way street. We can refer to you, you can refer back to us.
Absolutely, and we've worked with you at local
for a long time
and various things like that, and I think it's really important that we're not in competition with each other. None of us as organisations and charities are in competition, and similarly the other community car services that are around Devon and around the whole of the West Country and England, you know, we're all out to support people. We're all looking at using volunteers. The charity shops, I signpost people if they've enjoyed working with us, but they're looking for more customer facing. Cold Harbour Mill is another one.
Yes.
Some people don't want to be doing something indoors, but they're happy to go over and do the gardening in Cold Harbour Mill. We absolutely share volunteers, and I think that that's made us a lot more attractive to people wanting to do things, because there is no issue being a member of multiple services and also supporting multiple services. So for the people with visual impairments, they might want to come along to our group, but they might want to do loads of other groups as well, or they might want to bring somebody who has recently lost somebody who had a visual impairment. And if you've been supporting somebody as a carer and then suddenly that person is no longer with you, your social life has collapsed. And so we do have people that still network with the visually impaired group who sadly no longer have the person who was the reason they connected with that group. We welcome them.
Yeah.
So that's not an issue at all. So again, people that subscribe to your service may be in that situation. Please feel that you can connect with us and the other organisations out there.
Absolutely.
Because it's highlighted a lot for people with Alzheimer's and stuff like that, that you've become a carer and then you've effectively retired. Everything stopped at a particular time. People forget all the other disabilities that family members support, and it's the same process. Yes, you've lost that person, but you've also lost your purpose in life. So, yeah.
And that actually is replicated, because we do have clients who are sight impaired and are carers for their loved ones, and so it works both ways. And then suddenly somebody with a sight impairment is left very much on their own, and that's quite often results in us providing support through our counselling service and things like that. I've got two more questions I need to fit in before I let you open the lines and let you let our callers loose on you. If anyone wanted to become a volunteer, they just contact you through Mid Devon Mobility, and the telephone number for that we will hold here. So if anybody doesn't contact you direct because they don't remember who you are, if they contact us, we'll pass that information on for you. I would like to sort of conclude this bit by asking you, what does the future of Mid Devon Mobility look like?
Well, we've been going for 30 years, and our CEO, Faye, has been with us for 20 years. That's a very long time. So we're strong. We have people come and go. We're not precious about it. People use us as a stepping stone back into work. People use us as a stepping stone into other jobs. But the big announcement is that we have been shortlisted for multiple awards at the Community Transport 2023 Awards. So we have done incredibly well. This is a national organisation award. We're up against all the big companies, and this is the first time we've gone for it. Previously, we've attended the conference and we've looked around everybody else's. This year, we have Innovation in Volunteering for Mid Devon Mobility, and that is for how we run things. And I think that we've opened up to the world that you can all network together. Yeah. It used to be quite protective. Oh no, couldn't possibly offer our volunteers to do your free training, and I discovered that I was offering free things, no catch, because we had the grant. People were very frightened of networking with us, so we've changed it. I'm still here and I'm pushing to say let's all work together. So that's the Innovation in Volunteering. Partnership of the Year, we work with so many different organisations. Again, Mid Devon Mobility has been listed for that. We're up against national charities, but we've made it to the shortlist.
And somebody's going to win.
Somebody's going to win. So there's three of us in that shortlist. There's two of us in the Innovation Award. And CT Champion, which is Community Transport Champion of the Year, we have two of our incredible volunteers shortlisted. So to have two out of the four that are shortlisted, we've got good odds, guys. We've
got
good odds.
And if people wanted it to vote for you, is this something that is open to the general public to vote for, or is it something that's decided at a higher level?
It's at a higher level. It's panels of judges. Mm. So, yeah, we don't know, but even if we don't get any further than shortlisting. It is the most incredible thing to have our company, which is a tiny little thing in the corner of a multi-story car park that people have walked past daily and never known that we're there. They've seen the arched windows, they've seen the logo on the bus and thought, oh, they just do school runs. No, they're
or
now...
Or supply mobility scooters.
Or supply mobility.
I think
mobility.
That's something that is a general consensus. It's something I thought until I was educated through St John Ambulance to what provision was out there. And community mobility has been around for a long, long time now, so it's building, isn't it?
It is. And there's also a photo one that we submitted. That was public vote, but that's now closed as well. So we don't know.
No.
It's one of these events that you don't know until the night. But we will be celebrating the shortlisting, even if we don't celebrate a win.
So you're not anticipating going anywhere anytime soon?
No, apart from up north to the NEC to go and see whether we collect all the awards.
Can I ask you, because a lot of the callers who will be on here today and some of our professional organisations who are joining the call, there are other service providers in the area. Do you know of, across Devon, which ones are currently existing? Because I think funding, I think you and I spoke a little while ago about funding for community mobility is difficult to fight for. Are there many out there who are doing what you do?
There are. So there are other organisations. There is TRIP in Honiton. There are multiple organisations up around the Barnstable coastline. The keywords that you're looking for are community cars or community drivers. However, also have a look if you're in a village, your parish magazine. Your churches often set up community car services during COVID to get people to and from church, and that then became a to and from shopping. So they may not be the DBS checks and the process that we go through, which is very stringent, but they may be lovely people that are out there still doing the good work, and the fact that we do it differently doesn't belittle the services in the communities. Word of mouth, if you need something, ask around, contact your local shop, ask them, because as a visually impaired person, there's going to be things that you might not see. There might be very small print on a postcard in a window. It might be somebody who's been DBS'd by the local church that is just putting a card up, so I'm still doing this. Ask those that are in the community and they will tell you. But if all else fails, phone us.
Lovely. Okay, well, thank you. I'm just going to walk to the door and I'm going to leave you with Graham, and I'm going to ask Jenny to unmute the telephone so we can take questions.
While that's happening, I'll just say congratulations on your nominations for awards. When you're a small organisation, we're very small here, Devon Insight, it's really nice when you win a national award or you're shortlisted for it, because it's your peers identifying what you're doing, which is really nice. So well done.
Yeah, and I think that's it about the Community Champion of the Year. We have Jim. Jim has been a driver for 20-odd years now. He was nominated a long time ago for a bunch of flowers, and we have newspaper clippings of him then. He was so revered, and he's still with us all these years later. And we have Ro, who is one of our trustees. She's been a service user. She still works in the office. She's in this morning. I saw her this morning answering phones. She's learned our databases. We've changed databases. She's learned the next one. She's inspirational, and I'm hoping that, you know, if we could have joint winners, that would be ideal. Let's pick them all.
So callers, has anybody there got a question? If you'd like to introduce yourself, not your full name, just your first name, and ask Jackie anything you would like to, please go ahead.
Yeah,
hello,
well, Jack. sorry.
I've been beaten.
Right, David, we'll come back to you. Carry on, Robert.
Oh, sorry. Well, congratulations on the award. And I mean, I'm from rugby, but I do come to Tynemouth once a year. I mean, I've been interested in coming on some of your trips. and seeing what you do, you know, and what else you do. But yeah, I do go to a VIP club. I do go to lots of clubs actually. So have the magazine, and they're a nice. They seem a nice group here, you know. But yeah, lovely talk. You know, I'll be interested.
Lovely. I can make sure that I've got that telephone number for you, Robert, and I'll let you have it. All right.
Thank you.
David, carry on. You wanted to ask a question.
Yes, hello, good morning, Jackie. It's my name is David. I live in Exmouth. I'm severely sight impaired. I've just had to retire my guide dog about 3 or 4 weeks ago after having him for 9 years. So I'm finding it very difficult to get around, Jackie. There's lots of limitations without the dog on harness. One of the questions I'd like to ask you, a practical question, I would love to use your services and be a member also. I'm not a problem joining as a member. Just for example, from Exmouth, say I wanted to go to, say, Tesco's on Salterton Road, the big Tesco's, to do my shopping, would your services be okay for them to do that with me, pick me up, take me there, help me around the supermarket with my shopping and bring me back? Is that possible?
We have to look at the expenses, and because I recruit drivers in the Mid-Devon area, it's not impossible. But if you're a known user to Tessa and Gray here of their services, and you're happy for me to email you something specific, I would love to do that, and they can let me know what font or what spacing. I've written for things to be read out before, so I'm aware that the automatic readers on phones need short sentences to be short, no subphrasing and things. I can make it very readable for you, and I can give you phone numbers of services that would be a lot cheaper for you that are in your area because they're nearer to Exmouth. But there are services available. As for helping you with your shopping, it's recommended that you use their shopping services because
yes,
they often
use,
have somebody that does good.
But the issue is not all supermarkets will let, they're not supposed to let a guide dog in if he's retired. So I'm doing a few inquiries around a few local supermarkets. I use the co-op. I've just spoken to their manager there, which I use to go around and do my shopping with one of their assistants in there. But the problem is technically speaking, you're not allowed to go in if your dog has retired. It's purely on medicine. So I won't rabbit on about this because I know you've got other people.
No, I understand completely. Public access of retired dogs is one of the things that is discussed in the assistance dog community a lot. So you have the hearing dogs, you have the mobility assistance dogs, medical alert dogs, and if people are fortunate enough to be able to keep their retired dogs, this does become an issue. However, a lot of organisations will have a dog-friendly driver, and although you may not be able to take your dog in with you, if you're comfortable that your driver will stay with the dog, and then you use a personal shopper within the store who knows the layout of the store, that could be a sensible option for you. So you can still travel with your dog, you can still have that support of it, even though it's a retired one, and just not taking it into the shops. But I think there, as you say, there is a lot of discussion about the value of retired assistance dogs in all the communities. But let me contact you if you're happy with that, and I'll send you personal information.
That, so, yeah, not a problem. Okay.
Thank you.
Well,
good question.
For
thank you, David.
Us. I appreciate that. Thank you.
My absolute pleasure, David. Thank you.
Has anybody else got any questions? Okay, so I have got one statement, and then I'm going to hand over to Gray because he's got a few announcements that he's going to make. But I'd just like to say that we do hold a community transport fact sheet here. So if any of you would like that, and that we've got any of the providers that we know exist, so let us know and we can send you that fact sheet. And alternatively, we can give you contact information, Mid Devon Mobility. And David, with your permission, I'll pass over your email address to Jackie if you would like us to.
Well, and a phone number would be handy as well.
That's lovely. Well, I'll do that for you once the call is finished. So for those of you who've asked with questions, thank you so much. Jackie, thank you. Gray is just going to end on a few things that he'd like to let the callers know about.
No pressure then. No, I was only going to say one thing, but there we are.
I'll
say two things now. Okay. The next speaker seminar is on Tuesday, the 12th of December, and we've called it Race Across the World and Beyond. Many of you would have watched the BBC television series Race Across the World. We're delighted to be joined by Tricia Sale, who's severely visually impaired. And she took part, well, actually, she was the winner of the third series of Race Across the World. She and her friend Kathy, who is a pharmacy manager, raced across Canada without smartphones, internet access or credit cards and on a very limited budget. So we're delighted to welcome Tricia, who was working in banking until she lost her sight, but now works as a community connection coordinator for RNIB in Devon. So I've bullied her into joining us. And I've also managed to get Kathy to join us on the phone from Wales. So that'll be good to have the two of them with us. On Tuesday, the 9th of January, oh my word, we're talking about next year. So that's Tuesday, the 9th of January. We've got Making Community Energy Work for Everybody. And we're going to be joined by Tara Bowers, who is a Healthy Homes Project Manager from Exeter Community Energy. Don't be put off if you don't live in the Exeter area. She'll have lots of advice for us about renewable energy projects. We've asked her to have some information about smart meters, which I know has been raised in our chit-chat calls before. On the subject of smart meters, we've put some information in the new magazine, which is going to the printers today. So in the next, maybe another 2 or 3 weeks, that will be coming out in print and audio. And those of you who have it digitally via email will be getting the next magazine. So I think that's everything from me, Tess.
Yep, that's lovely. So we're just 3 minutes ahead of schedule. So unless anybody else has got anything that they would like to ask, we'll wind up by thanking Jackie profusely for coming in. Thank you very much.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you so much. And we look forward to those of you who are calling the chit-chat call tomorrow. But to those of you who've joined us professionally, thank you for joining the call. And if you'd like to listen to this again, you will find it soon. I'm not stating when, but soon it will be on our website, so you can listen to it again if you would like to. So thank you all very much indeed. Have a good day.
Thank you. The phone number, you were going to do the phone number, wasn't you?
Yes, we'll give you the phone number for Mid Devon Mobility if you're able to take it down.
Yeah, I can, yeah.
Okay. And Jackie's going to give it to you now.
Right, thank you.
For the Tiverton area, it's 01884 242 099, and that includes if you want to do a day trip or use the ring and ride in the Barnstable area.
All right,
live in the Crediton area or you want to use services there, it's 01363 773303.
What's the last two numbers?
773303.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Lovely. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye then.